Our scripture for this morning is from the Gospel of Matthew, from chapter 11. But to what will I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to one another, "We played the flute for you and you did not dance. We wailed and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, 'Look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' Yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds." At that time, Jesus said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you that are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light." Come to me, Jesus says. All you that are weary and heavy burdened, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, he says. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. These are some of the more comforting words that we have from Jesus, inviting us to come receive some much needed rest for our souls. And it is a gift Jesus is trying to give us, an invitation to a kind of comfort, rest and life for our souls. Though it is also true. It's also true that it wouldn't be quite right to assume that it means that following Jesus is easy only. That Jesus really isn't too picky about how we live. And that doesn't really hold up to the Jesus that we see in the rest of the Gospels, where we read that following Jesus is like a narrow road, where Jesus says the road is hard that leads to life. But paradoxically, this is the invitation that Jesus offers here for us just the same, for us to take his easy yoke upon us, his teaching, his way of life, instead of the really burdensome ways of the world. The first part of the scripture today starts out with children playing a little song. They're playing the flute, Jesus is saying, and no one is dancing. And so they change the tune and they wail, and no one mourns and no one grieves. And the people, Jesus is saying, the people, they're missing it either way, Jesus is saying. They're off in the wrong direction. And this is Jesus' way of describing his generation, the people of his time, though not much has changed, I don't think. We are still so often out of step with the ways of Jesus. We are missing it, carrying on in our own ways, out of step with the life that Christ has for us. Someone has, I think, rightly called Matthew 11, our scripture today, they've called it the chapter for the contemporary church. And I think there's something right about that. Jesus could just as well be talking about our generation. There's a story in the Alice in Wonderland books about how Alice and the Queen, they're running hand in hand, and the Queen went so fast that it was all she could do to keep up with her. And still the Queen kept saying, "Faster, faster," even though Alice could barely keep up as it was. And the most curious part was the trees. All the other things around them, they never changed places at all. However fast they went, they never seemed to pass anything at all. Until suddenly, just as Alice was getting quite exhausted, they stopped. And she found herself sitting on the ground, breathless, and the queen propped her up against a tree. And then Alice, she looked around in surprise and said, "Why, I do believe that we've been under this tree the whole time. Everything is just as it was," she said. "Of course it is," said the queen. "You see, it takes all the running that you can do to keep in the same place. If you want to get to somewhere else, then you'll have to run at least twice as fast as that," she said. And this seems an all too accurate picture of life for many. To the weary, to the heavy burden, Jesus says, come to me. I will give you rest. I read that according to the National Sleep Foundation, there were studies that showed that on any given night, more than 40 million Americans don't get nearly enough sleep. And so if you come across someone this week who's a little grouchy, have a little mercy. They're probably sleep deprived. And sadly for many, we're perpetually living lives that restrict our ability to unplug and to rest. And so around the clock, we're attached to our phones. We're awaiting the text message that should be coming or the email from work. Our brains are overstimulated, and the idea of rest is kind of chased away with the emotional difficulties of life and the pressures of our responsibilities all stacked up on top of a growing to-do list. The stresses on the modern adult are daunting. Everyone is faced with a variety of challenges that are really hard to carry alone. We are burdened, souls tired, weary, souls in need of life and rest. And so Jesus offers us this invitation to come to Christ. Those who are weary and heavy burdened, come, find rest for your souls. Come to him. Take his yoke. Take up his way of life instead of our own, instead of the ways of the world. There was an article in the Christian Century that was written by a Lutheran pastor who recalled a wedding that he had attended, and he was struck as he watched. He was struck by a woman who was trying to lure her little boy out onto the dance floor unsuccessfully. And she tried. She tried to get him to dance a slow dance. And then she tried again when the beat was faster. And she winked and she beckoned him. And she pretended to be sad having to dance all alone. And the little boy, he wasn't buying it at all. And finally, she gave him one last look of desperation, and then she turned her attention to a little girl standing on the sidelines who was more than eager to join her. And so they twirled around the dance floor in joy, delight, never glancing again in the direction of her stubborn little grump of a son. The author of the article, he reflected on what he saw at that wedding, and he said, We hear the invitation to come. We hear this invitation to come and step out into new patterns for our lives. We know the gospel, believe it even, but it is hard to trust it. It is hard to put on a new yoke instead of listening to the standards of the world around us. We are caught between the yoke of the world and the yoke of Jesus, out of step with the ways of Christ. We are so often and too easily swayed by the other songs, by the other voices of our culture, when we're invited by Jesus day by day to enter into his life-giving rest, to step out of the wearying ways of the world and into the kingdom of God. Thomas Merton, in one of his lectures to some spiritual leaders, he talked about abiding in Christ, what it's like in our lives to live and to dwell with Christ. And he said, so often it's like you're in our lives, it's like we're trying to catch an airplane and you're late. You're late and you hop in your car and you speed to the airport and every little delay gives you ulcers. And you reach the parking lot and you grab your stuff and you race down the corridor to get to the right gate. And you rush onto the plane and you flop down in your seat. You finally heave a heavy sigh of relief. You made it. And in one sense, you've really already reached your destination. Then the plane takes off and you're on your way to other places, going higher and much faster than you were ever going before. But now you are not frantic and worried. In Jesus, we have arrived. It's like we have already arrived. Our souls can be at rest. And this is what St. Augustine meant when he said, oh God, our hearts are restless until they find their rest in thee. We have arrived, Jesus. When I was in college, a young adult trying to figure out my life, my kind of purpose in the world, I'm trying to figure out my love life all at the same time. It's really too much, you know, for a pretty immature college guy to try to deal with. And there were a couple girls I dated in college, and a couple girls I kind of thought I wanted to date that never really then returned that favor. And really all this time there was one girl in particular, this blonde and compassionate, way too perfect for me girl, who I knew all this time, I knew was there, who I knew all this time kind of liked me even for some reason. And the problem really was I knew if I gave in to a love like that was waiting for me in Stephanie, Well then that was it. It was a done deal. Life as I knew it would be over. And I was holding off, pushing away the one thing that would change my life completely and totally, and it did. Really rearranged my life entirely and in the best way possible. The best way. And the love of Christ is just the same, waiting for us. The amazing promise of his way of life, a load made light by the gift of Jesus and his life for us. It is waiting always, day by day, calling for us, inviting us to come and to enter in. We can often fear what we might have to lose when we follow Jesus. We can worry about the high cost of discipleship. But in reality, as Dallas Willard says, the cost of non-discipleship, the cost of not following Jesus, it's really much higher. The cost of non-discipleship, it costs us abiding peace, he says. It costs us a life penetrated throughout with love, a faith that sees everything in light of God's overriding goodness, hopefulness, that stands firm in the most discouraging of circumstances. In short, he says, it costs exactly that abundance of life Jesus said he came to bring. It is hard to follow Jesus, but it is much harder not to. The way of Jesus, it leads to life. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. Every so often at the kids' bedtime, past their bedtime, from time to time, the kids are just far, far too wild and crazy and restless to be anywhere near ready to go to sleep. And they're running everywhere, restless and screaming and laughing. And I have to resist then my urge to raise my voice and start getting worked up about it, because it really doesn't help. I tried it couple nights ago with Ollie. Doesn't work. But if I can get him to stop for a minute, if I can get him to let me hold him, if I rock him slowly, if I start to sing a little softly and sweetly that little love song he's heard 100 times before, well, then it won't be long, and he'll start to settle in, fall asleep in my arms. There is a song of love that is sung over us. There is a way that has been made for us by the one who bore our burdens. There is a gracious invitation given to us by Christ himself for us to come and stop and enter daily into the life that Christ has for us, an easy yoke, a burden that is light. Come to me, Jesus says, all you who are weary and heavy burdened. Take my yoke upon you, and you will find rest for your souls.